Thomas Harding joins us, and Thomas is with MLB.com, and every time the Rockies are in town, we have Thomas on, and you never know, over all these years, every time the Rockies would come in, or many times, it was the panacea for the Giants. But the Rockies are a tough team now. They're playing great on the road. It's nice to have you here today. Tell us a little bit about the ball club and what it's been, because we've just seen them for the first three games.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is a weird ball club for the Colorado Rockies, because starting pitching has been carrying them, and also when they get a lead, they've had a good bullpen. Now, whenever they've been good in the past, they've always had a good bullpen. The issue, though, right now with them is that they really struggle offensively. Actually, they're doing a little bit better this series than they have generally this season. So a Rockies team being carried by pitching, I don't think you've heard of that very much over the 26th year of the franchise.
Well, Thomas, that's what makes this sort of peculiar, is it's a team that's dangerous, because bullpen arms are a lot of times what people are looking for when you get towards a postseason run, and if the offense can step it up like we're used to seeing the Rockies do, and I'd expect them to do it, I think they're probably underachieving a bit now. They're probably the most dangerous team in the NL West based on the back end of that bullpen.
It's funny. Whenever I look at this team, I do think that they could be better offensively. However, maybe there are actual holes that they're going to have to fill, especially from within, or maybe make a deal during the season. But whenever you look at the National League West, it is hard for me to look at the Rockies and say they're the most dangerous team, simply because the Dodgers still play baseball, right, and the Giants have all those veterans. Now, at this point, the more I talk to people who are around the West, the less I believe in the Dodgers, but it seems like every year they find a way. So I guess we'll see what happens as it goes on. But there's really no reason why the Rockies can't be in this thing until the end and be a playoff club. Yeah.
Well, they don't hit. What happened? You know, we look at the OPS and all that. The Giants are the most dangerous team in the National League West. And I know you haven't had a lot of home games, a lot of road games where the Rockies have done well. But the offense just is not there. What happened?
Well, it's odd, because they can't hit at home. They've actually hit on the road. They've hit more home runs on the road. They've scored more runs on the road than at home. I do think that not having a lot of home games, they don't get used to the atmosphere. But once they get used to that atmosphere, you know what happens when they go back on the road. Also, there are a number of guys who have either been injured or are having bad years, or a little bit of both. Charlie Blackmon was laid up a little bit early in the season, never went to the disabled list, but I have to believe that the back and quad injuries are affecting him. DJ LeMahieu is out. He has a thumb injury right now after sitting out with a hamstring injury. And Nolan Arenado's, the five-game suspension, I think that hit at the worst time for them, because their offense hadn't quite turned the corner at that point.
Okay. Well, therein lies sort of the similarities between the Giants and the Rockies, two teams that are trying to stay afloat and also compete without having really their best players on the field every day.
Yeah, but the key to the Rockies is they pitched. Right. I mean, it's like my mom told me when I was four. If you pitch, you can win, no matter what your offense does.
Well, the great Tony Salvador, I hope he's listening, and Rick Smith and Bob Bushyhead, we have lunch once a month. And Tony grew up in northern New York, and his dad was a Yankee fan. And Tony, to be contrary, became a Dodger fan at that time. But his dad in the 40s would say, "Tony, pitching, pitching, pitching. That's what you got to have, pitching." And you got to have pitching. You really do. But you guys, I say you guys, Colorado's got pitching. The kid today, Freeland, Gray, obviously, Bettis has pitched well. So, there's pitching here.
There's pitching, and there's actually depth, because Antonio Senzatella,
right,
broke camp with him. Yeah, they sent Senzatella down to AAA to build the pitch count in case they need him in the rotation. Usually if it's the Rockies, they definitely need him, and they're calling pretty much anybody. But now they have some depth in the pitching staff. Jeff Hoffman, who was the key to the Troy Tulowitzki deal, right, he spent the entire year in AAA. Now, he got hurt in spring training, but he's pitching well there. There just isn't room for him yet up here. So they do have pitching. They do have relief pitching. They have some starter types in AAA that can help them if they need help in the bullpen. So pitching is where it's at.
Wow.
And what they did since Jeff Breidich became the general manager at the end of, I believe it was the 2013 season or 14. No, I can't remember. He's only traded one starting pitcher, who is Eddie Butler. They have drafted or acquired or signed out of Latin America starting pitching, and that was their priority. And they just feel that rather than going out and buying it or rather buying it on the free agent market, they just keep developing it and develop guys behind the guys they have.
It's just hard to understand the Rockies as a pitching team all of a sudden. I mean, 25 years, and for most of my entire life, the Rockies have been an offensive team. You figure their best starters ever, Jorge De La Rosa, Ubaldo, and now they're a lights-out pitching team.
Well, it's odd because if you look at the 25 years, and what is it? One, two, three, four playoff appearances.
Four postseason pennant.
Yeah, one pennant. So pitching wins, and they've done it the other way,
right,
and it hasn't worked. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much why this
just
is going
on. Just insane to me, yeah. Talking to Thomas Harding here at MLB.com. What are you seeing for the Rockies for the remainder of this stretch? Because this is the first time the Giants have seen them this year. They'll see them again next weekend. Should we expect more of the same, or are we thinking this offense is going to pick up for them?
Well, like I say, the offense is picking up just a little bit here. Now, the first game, they did almost nothing offensively, but neither team did anything
right,
until Carlos Gonzalez scratched out the hit. They're going to have to settle their lineup. I think DJ LeMahieu getting back, whether he's batting number one ahead of Charlie Blackmon or number two behind him, will help settle that lineup. But they've got to get somebody else going. David Dahl, the young prospect, he came up, got a hit yesterday, and really he's done pretty well. Carlos Gonzalez and Gerardo Parra, veteran types, making a little bit of money. Parra's actually performed a little bit better than Cargo has. Cargo's really struggled. They've got to find one of those two to be a starter and the other come off the bench. That's another thing about them, is that they have a young bench. And a lot of those guys haven't produced yet. So there are a number of different issues going on, and we haven't even gotten to Ian Desmond, which
right,
I guess here in San Francisco, you think he's having a great year because of the other night where he hit the three-run homer, drove in four runs, and had a productive day yesterday. But before that, he came in 3-for-34. The average still hasn't gotten to 200.
All right, Thomas Harding with us. As I say, it's always a pleasure to have Thomas with us talking about the Rockies. This division, though, look, the Dodgers won a doubleheader yesterday, and they beat Roark. Hill went two pitches, and he was gone. Stripling won. Scherzer, you know, didn't get the win in the game.
13 strikeouts, though.
Right,
yeah.
They won a doubleheader. Look at the Giants. I think they're a second-half team. They're going to get a bunch of people back. The Rockies haven't been home yet, you know, to start pummeling people, and the Giants go in there on Memorial Day. And then you get Arizona with all the injuries, but off to the great start. Who's the favorite in this thing?
For me, yeah. I guess it sounds like boxing, that you don't become the champ till you knock out the champ.
Hey, Marty said this yesterday. He
yes,
said to be a team, you got to beat some teams.
That's right. And the champ is still the Dodgers, even though they're kind of, I don't know if they're rope-a-doping or if, in fact, they're declining right now. The question I have about them is their pitching depth, but at some point Kershaw gets back. With the Giants, it's funny. When I look at that lineup and I look at the names, I think, yeah, they could turn it on. But I also wonder about the durability as it goes, and I'm not sure that they can replenish themselves, and I'm not sure they have the parts to trade for what they'll need coming down the stretch. I mean, they're generally pretty creative around here. So I look at the Dodgers. When I look at the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, it's almost like I'm looking in the mirror in that they're teams that are somewhat flawed but can really turn hot.
Well, it's funny because we're looking at the NL West right now, and we're talking about, you know, three teams last year. The first time the NL West has had three teams get into one postseason. You had two wild card teams and then a team win the division, and now we're looking like it's going to be a one playoff division team.
Right, and if the champion didn't get an automatic bid, it would be a no playoff team, playoff division.
Tell us about the pitcher today, Tyler Anderson. He's pitched against the Giants a couple of times. He hasn't beaten them yet. He hasn't gotten creamed, but he's been one of those tough lefties like Freeland. He was hurt, I think, earlier in the year. Wasn't he? Something happened with him?
He wasn't hurt early. He did struggle early this season. Last year, he was hurt.
Okay.
Last year, he missed a lot of time. But when he came back at the end, he was one of the better pitchers in the division. So he's really hard to time up. You'll see a very unusual kick out of his windup when there's no one on base. And you'll also see an unusual move with a guy at first base.
Now I remember him.
The double, triple clutch. Sometimes you'll see a balk out of him. This is a guy who spots his fastball well, but his changeup is his best pitch. And if he's able to get the fastball up and down in the zone, above and below the zone, then the changeup is really an effective pitch. Yeah, he hasn't done anything against the Giants, but the Rockies have won all five of his road starts this season.
Wow.
Boy, Thomas Harding with us. Yeah, now I remember him. All the funky moves. Yeah, now yes. I remember this
You only
guy.
Have lefties do stuff like that, right? There's hardly ever any funky righties. It's always a lefty with a weird kick or a...
That's true.
Right?
No, not too many.
Quirky dudes.
Oh, yeah. Now, well, Cueto's a little weird.
He's a little weird.
A little weird. Thomas Harding with us. Thomas, a couple of issues in baseball that came up this week. One, the Robinson Cano's suspension. And you're a writer, you vote, and all this. Is he, or his Hall of Fame days over from this long career that he took a masking agent? I'm not even sure what he masked, but is that enough just to knock him out forever?
It could be, but I'm not sure because it's a newer voting group as the older group kind of, you know,
falls
retires
off,
and
yeah.
falls off. Although the voting groups for the Hall of Fame tend to stick around. But I've seen some softening with Barry Bonds. I've seen some softening with Roger Clemens. Now, is Robinson Cano at that level in the minds of Hall of Fame voters? I have a hard time getting into their minds, but I'm not sure that he's quite at that level. Although, man, what a career he has had, and this is certainly a very bad blemish. I mean, I do wonder if... As a guy goes on in his career, and then he takes a masking agent or a steroid, do you say, gee, he's doing it to stay afloat as he's declining, and maybe you forgive him at some point? I'm not sure.
That's sort of the Bartolo Colon thing, right? His career was over, and he figured if I can take something and stay around, and now the guy's still pitching in the bigs.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
he extended his career.
The thing about performance-enhancing drugs that I think we need to understand is they really work, okay?
Yeah.
They work. Now, at the end, maybe it is up to the writers to kind of come in on the back end and enforce, no, you can't be doing this.
Yeah, it's interesting whether it's sort of like, you know, no gray area. You do it or you don't do it. And
Although I find that kind of tough because I wonder as we continue to research these things, will some of these things actually be a part of a player's training? Because if you look, a lot of times, especially if a player or an athlete misses a large amount of time, a lot of times they go to Europe or somewhere where some of this stuff is more legal and it does promote healing. So will there come a time that we look at it as a little bit differently?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, baseball, I've said this on the show many times, evolves. And it evolved a long time ago, and it changed its rules every other year.
Right.
They moved the pitching mound back because pitchers were stronger. They created a mound from 54 feet to 60 feet because the pitchers are overwhelming the hitters. So baseball does evolve. We just haven't. It's like sort of, I hate to say it, like a volcano that hasn't gone off for a while because we have action here in Hawaii. But baseball hasn't evolved for a long time, but it has evolved as a sport to get to where it is, and maybe it's time to evolve again.
Well, it could be, although I will disagree that baseball hasn't evolved. I mean, if you look at instant replay, okay, that was something that baseball resisted forever, and then it has it. Some of the technology that's involved in so many different things, it's there. I mean, it keeps evolving. Now, I will say this. The basic rules of the game, and this is the key. The basic rules, they don't change a whole lot.
That's right.
I mean, they haven't hardly changed.
Or the dimensions of the field.
Right. The dimensions never change, at least the dimensions of the infield. The dimensions of outfields have changed drastically. I mean, some of them got tighter, especially in the 80s and 90s. Naturally, when I look at instant replay, it's not that it's as huge a change as much as it enforces the rule, meaning when Gerardo Parra tries to go first to third and he's tagged, an umpire can guess yes, no. But when you go to the replay, you get the answer. So it actually enforces the rules that exist in the game.
Well, that's happened. And that is reacting to what's going on in the world. And baseball has always reacted to that.
Right. I'll tell you a story about that. When I was several years ago, I would go down to the elementary school when the kids were there, and I was the playground monitor one day. They're out there playing football, and a kid dives, and I don't know if it's a catch or not. He doesn't know. He claims it's a catch. The other kids claim it isn't. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to break up a fight on the playground. But they're arguing for a few seconds, and one of the kids screams, okay, replay. I'm thinking, there are no cameras here. How do you do it? They chose one kid to be the replay official. They had the other kids act out the play, and the replay official made the decision, and the decision was final, and they kept going.
Wow.
At that point, baseball didn't have replay, and I'm thinking, baseball's going to have to get it because it is ingrained in our society. First time I took some kids to a high school football game, the first thing they did was look at me and say, where's the replay? Where's the replay screen?
Hey, and with the cell phones, why, somebody's got to have it.
That's right.
Right, with cell phones and all that.
And hey, playground rulings, I mean, those trump all. Once you make a That's call right. on a playground, nobody's breaking
yeah,
off of that.
Nobody calls
Nothing
the commissioner.
Stands. Yeah, exactly.
It's the...
Well, the Rockies are playing great. On the road, they're playing great. The Giants took it to John Gray yesterday. What was the reaction after that game?
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of worry there because, for three starts, John Gray pitched 20 innings, allowed one earned run.
That's right.
The last start at home against the Brewers, they really creamed his fastball. He ended up with 10 strikeouts, okay?
One
walk. But only went 5 1/3 innings and gave up 7 runs. And and 8 of the 10 hits were on the fastball. Yesterday, there were 5 hits on the fastball. He's only gotten 8 swings and misses out of 83 fastballs the last 2 times out. That's a pitch that John Gray needs to get to that slider and the changeup that he's increasing the use of and the curveball. But I don't know. When I watched yesterday, he looked like he was a bit flustered by what was going on, and that's something that I know that several people in that clubhouse and Gray himself said, you know, that needs to be addressed. You cannot allow yourself to be flustered there. Hey, I have a question about this place because I've never pitched here, believe it or not. When there's a howling wind out there, does it affect the pitch, meaning between those 60 feet 6 inches between the mound and home plate? Can it affect that? Is it that big an issue here?
I've never heard it being an issue.
Okay.
Now, I'm not a scientist, and I can't say it's not, but I've never heard a pitcher complain that maybe a knuckleballer or something, you know,
right.
having the wind behind them or throwing into the wind. But I've never heard a regular pitcher say, wow, it's a windy day, I've got trouble.
I would think that the wind affected, maybe you're talking about like the movement of a pitch even?
Yeah, the movement of a pitch, the accuracy, the ability to put it in a spot. I mean, I can't imagine that because I've seen the Madison Bumgarners and people like that.
Well, see, so I've never heard anybody complain about it either. I can remember a time maybe 03, 04 where Jason Schmidt had to change jerseys that were too big because it was too windy. It could bother the pitcher physically on the mound, but I can't imagine, or I've never heard of a pitch not going where you wanted based on the wind.
I once saw a candlestick. Someone's hat blow off
right.
and go right to the center field's chain link fence and stay
wow.
there.
Amazing.
I've seen that.
Up against the fence. Huh?
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
But,
I just wonder, I'm fascinated by these things because obviously I work at a park where people are always discussing park effects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are a number of different parks that have their own effects, whether it's Yankee Stadium in right field or Fenway Park with the monster
sure.
in left. So I'm always interested in that.
Well, it's a good one. We'll have to ask.
I'm sure there will be ballpark metrics about that sooner than we think. Right?
Boy, great to have you with us. You're always welcome here. Great guest. And the Giants go to Colorado Memorial Day. Maybe I'll try to grab you and get you on our pregame show then from Colorado because a lot more is going to happen. It'll be the Giants' first trip in there that they do not look forward to.
All right. We'll see what happens. We'll see who is on the Giants roster by then, who they have back by then. I'm not sure. And also how the Rockies are playing. Will they have figured out their own home field?
You keep your eye on the Dodgers.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't ever take your eye off the
Corner
Dodgers.
Corner of your eye. You got to watch them.
You got to watch them. Hey, Thomas, thank you so much. Great report.
Thanks for having me.
Very good. All right, that is Thomas Harding of MLB.com.